chapter 2. And as you know, on Sunday morning, a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Ethan started a series of messages dealing with the seven churches that are found in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. And last week was the second church, the church in Smyrna. Now, I'm actually not going to read chapter 2 or chapter 3, but we're going to a little bit different this morning. We're going to end up in 1 John. But I just want to remind us of some things as we get started here in the message this morning, and then I'll have a short word of prayer. But the seven churches, we've talked a little bit about them. He's preached a little bit about them. And I believe that all, as he does, that all the seven churches that are listed are represented in the world today. There's a number of different points of view with regards to Revelations chapter 2 and chapter 3, whether they were different church ages, and they may have been, but I really think they represent the different types of churches that are in the world today. So I just want to point some things out to you, and the message this morning is really about being an overcomer. I want to preach to you about that, because you're going to see, and if you haven't noticed it, the one thing that is common of all seven churches is that when the letter was written to them, the word overcome is mentioned. So I believe, like for instance, look in chapter number 2 in verse 1. That's the church in Ephesus. And if you remember, that's the careless church. That's the church that lost its first love. And they were reminded to return to their first love. But in verse 7, it says, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. And then notice in verse 8, that's the church in Smyrna. And that's the church Pastor preached about last week. That's the persecuted church. That's the church, that's the crowning church. The Ephesus church is the careless church. It lost its first love. The second church, Smyrna, is the crowning church because they endured during persecution. But you'll notice there in verse number 11, the end of the verse, again, the same words, he that overcometh. You see it there? He that overcometh shall be hurt of the second death. Now look at verse 12. That's the church in Pergamos. That's the compromising church. I'm sure next week Ethan will preach on that. And that's the church that chased after the doctrine of Balaam. And I'm not going to get into all this, but that's that church. But you'll notice with regards to that church, if you go down to verse 17, I'm going to read verse 17, but when I get to him that overcometh, you read that out loud with me. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's begin. To him that overcometh. So there you have the first three churches, but what's common so far is the word overcometh. Then the next church, it's found in verse 18. That's the church in Thyatira. That's a corrupted church. They chased after the doctrine of Jezebel. But again, go down to verse 26. Won't you read these first four words with me? Let's begin. And he that overcometh. And then we get down to chapter 3 and to verse 1. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis. Sardis is the comatose church. This is a church that's ready to die. And yet the Bible says, look at verse 5. Read these words out loud, won't you, again with me? He that overcometh. And then you get down to verse 7. That's the church in Philadelphia. The church in Philadelphia, that's a committed church. But then you get down to verse 12 and read these words with me again, won't you, please? Him that overcometh. So all of these churches, that's the one thing that's common. They all have different characteristics. And the last church, verse 14, is the church of Laodicea. The Laodicean church, that's the callous church. And that church, again, look at verse 21 of chapter number 3. Read these words out loud, won't you please? To him that overcometh. So in my mind, and I do believe that all of these churches are represented in the world today, that despite some of these churches have some great faults, yet I believe that within each of these churches, you can find a believer in these churches. I remember years ago, someone that was very involved in the Right to Life movement, who was attending a church that really preaches a message that, or a doctrine of salvation by works. And I spoke with them, and actually this person's husband attended here for about a year. And I asked them, why do you continue to attend when you know that their doctrine is wrong? And she was raised in that institution, and she said, I stay to try to have an influence on people that are there. Now, whether that's right or that's wrong, that's a message for a different time. But that's what she was doing. But at all of these churches, that is the one thing that's common. To him that overcome. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Father God, thank you again for the opportunity this morning to stand behind this pulpit and, Lord, to preach the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray as I preach this morning that you'd use me, please, as your instrument and your vessel to take these truths and to make application. I pray if there's someone here in the auditorium this morning that has never put their faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, in the precious blood that was shed, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd bring conviction to their heart, that they have an understanding of their need of Christ, and today that they would be saved. I pray for those that are watching this morning on the live stream, and perhaps there's someone watching that has never received Christ as their Savior. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you'd speak to their hearts, draw them to the Savior. Help them to see their need of Christ. And this would be the day they'd become a child of God. Lord, I need your help as I preach this morning. Please use me, Lord, despite my own faults and my own weaknesses, my own failures. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you notice on your handout, I think on your handout, is the word overcome. And that's what we're going to preach to you about this morning, overcome. And, you know, the first time the word overcome is found in the Bible, in the same context that we're finding it here in the book of Revelation, it's way back in the book of Numbers. And it's a familiar account, I'm sure, to most of you, but in Numbers chapter number 13 and verse 30, the Bible says this, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.'" So that was when they were instructed of the Lord to go into the promised land, and the 12 spies went into the promised land. And the 12 spies returned, but 10 out of the 12 spies did not give a good report. They gave a good report with regards to that the land floweth with milk and honey, and that it was a beautiful place. But they also then were discouraged by what they saw there. But only Joshua and Caleb said, we need to do what God has said for us to do. And when everyone is having this big discussion, the Bible says that Caleb, he stilled the people before Moses. You okay, Donnie? You all right? All right. He stilled the people before Moses. And he says, we need to go. We need to go right away. We can do this. We can overcome it. And it would be years later than when Caleb was an older man, and he would go into the promised land. But he knew. And of course, the other 10 spies, they discouraged the people. They didn't go. But God had made that promise. You know, God has made a promise to you, just like in the book of Revelation, that you and I can be overcomers. We can be overcomers, whatever the challenges that we face in life. Because as we'll see by the time we get to the end of the message, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has overcome the greatest challenge to life that anyone will ever face, and that's the challenge of death and life when he was victorious on the cross. They said back in Caleb's day, we saw the giants. Listen, we're all going to face giants in life. You're all going to face difficulties and problems. I was talking to a young person on Wednesday night, and they were telling me about bullying, the bullying that goes on in school and dealing with the bullying. Listen, if you're a young person in school and you're being bullied, that's a giant that you're facing. I didn't really experience that in school when I was growing up. Maybe I did, and I just didn't realize it was going on. But, you know, young people today, teenagers and younger people, that's a giant that's going on. Listen, I just want you to understand this morning that all of us are going to face giants. The people in Caleb's day said, hey, we saw giants in the land. Obstacles, health problems, finances, setbacks, tragedies, marital problems, all kinds of things that we deal with. Many events in life, both good and both bad. And if we're not careful, they'll draw our attention away from the Lord. We don't want that to happen. So I'd like to give you these 3 points that I have in your handout this morning that really the Lord showed me this many, many years ago. I was a fairly young Christian. And, you know, as a preacher, quite frankly, most of the messages that I've ever preached, I really believe that if you read through a portion of Scripture, there's a natural outline that God has there. And I noticed this when I'm reading through, many years ago, I was reading through 1 John. And in my mind, I'm always looking for words that connect with other words in the text and how those words join together. And God gave me this message probably over 20 years ago. So now take your Bibles, if you would, and go over to 1 John, please. 1 John, if you're a little bit newer Christian, it's just a few books back from the book of Revelation. You have the book of Jude, 3 John, 2 John, and then you're in 1 John. I read through 1 John early this morning. Again, it is just an epistle that's just filled with great Bible truths and great Bible doctrine. But years ago, as I was reading through this, I noticed some things with regards to the word overcome. And there are 3 points that you've already seen on your handout that you can connect here in 1 John that deal with being an overcomer. So you probably noticed this, but maybe you haven't noticed this, but being a born-again, Bible-believing Christian in the culture that we live in, it's not always the most popular position, is it? But yet, God has given us all the tools and has equipped us with everything we need to deal with whatever we face in life. And so, look what it says here. I want you to pick this up, if you would, please, in verse 12 of chapter 2. John writes this. He said, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. And I write unto you, young men. Let me just stop there. So you have little children, you have fathers, and you have young men. Now, is he talking literally about little children, fathers, and young men? Perhaps. I tend to believe he's probably talking more about the age of the believer, but it could be both. And Pastor Ethan preached a little bit about this a week or two ago, so I'm just going to kind of leave it at that. But then look what it says here in verse number 13. Because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. And I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because ye are strong and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. So years ago in my Bible, I underlined the word ye have overcome, and I underlined the word, the word of God, and I have a line drawn from overcome down to the words the word of God. And so that's the first point of this very simple message. Listen, if you and I are going to be overcomers, if we're going to be overcomers in the world in which we live, we need to be involved with the word of God. Amen? The Bible, the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. Hebrews says this on your handout. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now listen, you and I know that as believers, that there's the milk of the word. Peter says, 1 Peter 2:2 says, desire this as newborn babes. So if you're a new Christian, whether if you're here today or if you're watching on the live stream, if you're a new Christian, you're a babe in Christ. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Anybody remember how that verse ends? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may what? Grow. That you may grow thereby. That you may grow thereby. So my daughter-in-law is about to have her fourth child. So between my two children that have children, there will be eight altogether. That's a kind of a way of getting to where their mom and their dad has eight children. And with all eight children, and they were born, Donnie, you probably don't believe this, but when we brought Pastor Aaron home from the hospital, we didn't slap a T-bone steak in front of him. Do you believe that? You do. No, we fed him baby food. And then we fed him somewhat solids, and now he's a meat man now. He likes meat. He's got a smoker at home. And he tells us it's the greatest thing to smoke. Yeah, I think he smokes everything, I heard. He has Cheerios in the morning, and he smokes his Cheerios. They taste better smoked. But it's the Word of God. We grow. I remember as a young Christian, I just couldn't get enough of the Bible. And I just wanted to read it. I wanted to sit and listen to the preacher as he preached the Word of God. And I wanted to learn about what the Bible had to say. As a young, my wife, most of you know my testimony, my wife, pretty much the first time we were invited to the church, she heard the gospel, she got saved, and she was interested in the things of God. I wasn't. But she was going to be my wife, and I thought, well, all right, we'll keep going to church because she's interested, and she'll be the mother of my children. I didn't think we'd have eight, and we'd have such a meat lover in the family. And then God used that to get a hold of my heart and get saved. But we desire the sincere milk of the word. I still like every now and then to sit down with some cookies and a glass of milk and just enjoy them. But that's the basic things of God's word, isn't it? So, you know, I read through some of the basic things. You know, isn't it interesting, probably, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, sometimes you read through the Word of God, it's a particular portion of Scripture that you know fairly well. But all of a sudden, as you're reading through, maybe even a verse like John 3:16, all of a sudden, as you're reading through that, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit of God speaks to you about something that you really never thought about. So for many of us that have been Christians a long time, John 3:16, I'm not going to say it's the milk of the word because it's got some very deep spiritual truths there. But you understand what I'm saying. You begin and you start out and you start to grow and learn. Like Mike is going to be baptized today. And I'm thrilled for him. And him and I are meeting on Wednesdays for our discipleship class. And Mike is filled with questions. And sometimes we meet for about an hour every Wednesday morning, and maybe the first half, maybe the first 15 or 20 minutes, I got a question, he says. Almost every time he comes to church, I got a question. It's good to have questions. I got a question. Keeps me on my toes. What do you think about this? And how come it says this? Well, the answers are from the Bible, the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But if you and I are going to overcome in this world, and I understand, listen, I'm talking two separate points here. Our salvation, I'll say more about this at the end. You and I could never overcome the debt that is owed for our sin. Only Jesus overcame that debt. And then when we've reached that conclusion because we've been convicted by the Spirit of God that we must place our faith and trust in Christ, but then we live our lives here, and so many voices in the world, so much drawing us away, so much sometimes discouragement or heartache or pain or whatever, or even success trying to draw us away. These are the things I'm really preaching to you about this morning with regards to overcoming these things. And if you and I are going to, like, listen, here's the reality. I'm 64 years old. I'm not going to really say I'm entering the fourth lap of a four-lap race. I'm going to say I'm somewhere in the third lap. But listen, at the end of my life, however long that may be, and only God knows our life, if the last year and a half has said and spoken to us about anything, is we don't know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life but a vapor? It's just here for a little while, and it's gone. It's gone. But I know this. I want to, at the end of this life, have run the race to the end. And it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. There's going to be all kinds of things that come your way, obstacles that you are going to, by God's grace, have to overcome. And you'll never overcome those unless you're in the Word of God. That's just from 44 years of walking with the Lord, or almost 40 years of walking with the Lord. You've got to be in the Word of God if you're going to overcome, or else there'll be setbacks. And John writes this here, and I wrote that down years ago, and I just didn't forget it. In Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 26, listen to what the Bible says. This relates to the children of Israel that did not go into the promised land. Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but you rebelled against the commandment of your God. Caleb says, go. Joshua says, go. God says, go. But the other 10 spies says, no. No. The word of God said, yes. But the word of man said, no. That's the culture we live in today. The Word of God says, move this direction. The culture says, move this direction. You've got to be in the Word of God. You've got to desire the sincere milk of the Word. And then as you grow, you desire the sincere, you desire the meat of the Word. And you notice in that verse there, Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 13 and 14, look at the words that I have. Won't you please read these three words or four words out loud? They should be highlighted. Who, ready? Look at it. You see it? Who by what? By reason of use. The Bible doesn't do us any good. So I'm just being honest. I'm glad many of you have your Bibles today or it's on the screen. But the Bible really does not do us any good if we're going to read it and have it this morning, and then we'll go home at the end of the day and we'll put it back in the shelf or leave it in the car till next Sunday. You know what? That's not reason of use. Now, I understand that you, as you memorize Scripture and you know Scripture, the Holy Spirit brings, and we'll say more about this in the next point, the Holy Spirit brings back those Scriptures, but you've got to be in the Word of God regularly. We talked last week about the persecuted church. People die trying to put the Word of God into other people's hands. And yet, for most of us, we probably have 2, 3, or more Bibles at home. No, you've got to be in the Word of God if you're going to overcome. And so John reminds us of that. But then if you move to 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, look what the Bible says here. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. So in my Bible, I have the word Spirit of God underlined. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Listen, way back in John's day, the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of this world, was already trying to overcome believers. Verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So there in my Bible, I have the word overcome underlined, I have the Spirit of God underlined, and I have a line drawn from the Spirit of God down to the word overcome. The Spirit of God, being sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God. You know, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God will only bring to your memory and to your attention the Word of God when you're in the Word of God. These are all connected. So as you read the Word of God, as you study the Word of God, as you sit under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, then the Holy Spirit of God takes the Word of God and begins to teach you and help you to grow and help you to discern truth from error. Look what it says in verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. In Numbers chapter 13, when Caleb said, we're able to overcome, the other 10 spies said, no, we saw the children of Anak. They're giants. The people there are stronger than we are. They were listening to the wrong spirit. And there's a danger even today for you and I. On your handout, John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17, the Bible says this. These are the words of Jesus. He said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. And then down in verse 26, it went on to say, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. See, the reality is, when I'm teaching, or Pastor Ethan's teaching, or Pastor Aaron's great Sunday school lesson today, Aaron, I was listening from the other room, and when the Word of God is going forth, like the Apostle Paul said, I come not to you with excellency of speech. I can't. The reality is, in and of my own self, in and of my own flesh, or any preacher in the flesh, we really, from a spiritual point of view, can't really convince anyone of the truths of God's Word. It is we deliver the Word, and quite frankly, I am 100% dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God taking the Word of God, and then the Holy Spirit of God speaking to the hearts and minds of men and women, boys and girls. That's how people get saved. It's the Spirit of God. And then you and I, as believers, as we sit under the teaching and preaching of the Word, we're dependent on the Spirit of God to teach us. I will send the Comforter, Jesus said, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. You know, that's one of the neat things I remember early on. I wanted to memorize the Scriptures because I wanted to be able to share my faith with people that were around me. I wanted to be able to tell them about Jesus Christ and how to get saved. So one of the first things that I ever memorized was what's called the Romans Road. I memorized Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I even had it marked in my Bible at the end of Romans 3:23. I had Romans 6:23 marked, because that's where I would go next if I opened my Bible and showed somebody how they can know Christ as their Savior. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then after that, I had written down Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then I remembered to mark down Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those are some of the first verses that I memorized. But then I wanted to memorize more scripture. And one of the first verses that I memorized was the verse that the Lord convicted my heart and my need of salvation. Romans 13:12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And that's the verse that the Holy Spirit convicted this sinner with. And that's the verse where I said, Lord, I'm tired of my sin, and I'm tired of my rebellion, and I'm tired of my life, and I want to get saved. And then I memorized this verse, like verses here. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And as a young Christian struggling with different areas of my life, wait a minute, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Because I had areas of my life I needed to overcome. But I knew that would be dependent upon the Word of God in conjunction with the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 26 says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. We saw the children of Anak. The people are too strong. What? You go to church at that time 3 times a week? Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? What? Well, yeah, because I want to learn about the Bible. It's the Spirit of God that equips us. I could preach a whole message on this. It's the Spirit of God that enables us. It's the Spirit of God that empowers us. Get the 3 E's. I'm always a 3-point preacher. It's the Holy Spirit of God that produces fruit in our lives. It's the Holy Spirit of God that assists in our prayer life. If we're going to overcome, we must depend on the Word of God. We must depend on the Spirit of God. What shall we say to these things? Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, anybody know how that verse ends? Who can be against us? The 10 spies needed that verse. They didn't have it then, but Caleb had it in his heart. And then lastly, if you'll turn to 1 John 5, I'll begin in verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. But this we know that we love the children, by this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments. Well, that reminds us of the Word of God if you're going to be an overcomer. Really, it's the Holy Spirit of God that enables us to keep his commandments. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God, there's that word again, overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So, really, salvation starts with the Word of God, then conviction by the Spirit of God, and then belief in the Son of God. My ability to overcome is based entirely on my relationship with the one who has overcome the greatest difficulty known to man, and that is the difficulty of death and life. Because through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the resurrected Savior, we who have put our faith and trust in him have eternal life, our sins forgiven, we're bound for glory. Amen, amen, amen. Every other obstacle in life, everything else you need to overcome pales in comparison to where we're going to spend eternity, to the debt that had to be paid for your sin and for my sin. Every other obstacle. Because Jesus is the overcomer supreme. John 16:33 on the handout. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Through Christ and through what he did for us on the cross, we make peace with God, because until you're saved, you don't have peace with God. You're at odds with him. And then we have the peace of God. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation. Jesus told us that. So if we're going to have tribulation in the world, we better make sure that we're in the Word of God. We're depending upon the Holy Spirit of God. And we've placed our faith and trust in the Son of God. But be of good cheer. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. So again in my Bible, in verse 4 of chapter number 5, I have the word overcome underlined. And I have the words Jesus is the Son of God underlined. And I have a line drawn between the two. So I can only say this back there in Revelation chapter number 2 and chapter number 3 in those seven churches, to he that overcometh. Those in those churches that are overcomers, they understand what the Word of God says. They've been convicted by the Holy Spirit of God because they've placed their faith and trust in the finished work of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Amen? And so you and I, as we walk through life, I hope this is just a simple message that's an encouragement to you. Because, again, we're going to face obstacles. We're going to think this is just too great of a difficulty for me to handle. It's too much. It's overwhelming. No, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And when you remember these things and you've read these things and you've been preached to about these things and the Holy Spirit reminds you about these things, it's the confidence that the Lord gives us. Look at verse 14 of chapter 5. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Why do we have that confidence? Because it's found in the Word of God. We've been convinced by the Spirit of God it's true, and we placed our faith and trust in the Son of God. Oh. So if you're listening online, or if you are here this morning, I'll finish with these verses and then I'm done. Chapter 5, 1 John, verse 11. Are you listening? This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. This is the record. God's given to us eternal life. Can't earn it. Can't work your way to it. Can't be religious enough. Can't be holy enough. Can't be righteous enough. God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God has not life. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because the greatest obstacle, the greatest thing that you need to overcome is your sin nature. We're all born into this world as sinners. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. The only way for your sin and for my sin to be forgiven is by placing our faith and trust in what Christ did for us on the cross 2,000 years ago. Say, Pastor Malchuk, why do you believe that? Because the Word of God says it. Why are you convinced of that? Because the Holy Spirit of God has convicted me and convinced me of that. And that when that day happened, when I was 24 years old, I looked to the Son of God dying on an old rugged cross, and then being buried, and 3 days later being raised from the dead. And that day, sick of my sin and my life and the emptiness, spiritually speaking, I cried out to Jesus and said, Jesus, I need to get saved. I need to be saved. And life's never been the same since. I hope if you're here in the auditorium or if you're watching online, if you've never done that, you'll do that. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Are you saved? When you die, there's only two alternatives. One is hell, and the other is heaven. If you die without Christ, if you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you're going to die and go to hell. But I want to tell you that God loves you. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish. And often people say, why would God send people to hell? I really don't think that God does. I think people send themselves there. They reject the message of Christ, the love of Christ, the salvation that's been provided. So if you're here today or listening online, the live stream, right where you are, you cry out to the Lord, you admit to Him that you're a sinner. You believe that Jesus, if you believe that Jesus died and paid for your sin, admit to Him that you're a sinner. Tell Him that you believe Jesus, that He died and paid for your sin on the cross. And call upon Him in your own personal way. But those of you that are listening that have already made that decision, what is it that you're dealing with? The giants. Just place your trust in the promises of God's Word and He'll see you through it. Depend upon the Holy Spirit of God to give you strength and enable you. And know that you can do that because of what Jesus did for you on the cross 2,000 years ago. The Bible says He's promised never to leave us nor to forsake us. So thankful for those truths. Father, thank You again for the opportunity to preach this morning. I pray, Lord, that You'd take these words and just encourage us. Might we all just take a moment during this time of invitation and just thank You for our salvation. But Lord, maybe there's someone here that's really going through a difficulty right now. And maybe they're not necessarily struggling spiritually in so much that they just don't know how they're going to deal with the challenge. I just pray, Lord, that You'd speak to their hearts, be an encouragement to them. But then this morning, with every head still bowed and eyes closed, maybe someone's here today that asked Christ to be their Savior. Maybe that's you. Maybe in the moment now that we've just had, you called out to the Lord and you asked Him to save you. If that's you this morning, would you just slip up your hand and put it down? Anyone at all? Today I called upon Jesus to be my Savior. Never done that, but today I did it. Father, bless the invitation. Let it bring honor and glory to You. In Jesus' name, amen.